There we go. Our Torah portion this week is two Torah portions again. Tazria and Metzora. The first word means she conceives, which is the first key word after an intro word or two. And infected one is the second, Metzora. And what we read about here in these several chapters are a lot of the laws to do with leprosy primarily, but starting with childbirth and ending up with various medical conditions such as discharges and other things, and how the priests were determine whether people were clean or unclean. In ancient healthcare, the priests were the doctors. And that's very interesting. They were representatives of Yahweh. What the priest said was according to the word. What he said to do, you did. Unfortunately, we've taken that to today's doctors who aren't practicing the Torah, to where sometimes we put a little bit too much trust in our doctors. They have a lot of flaws. The medicine, the science that they call medicine today, is flawed. They try to diagnose. They do the best they can. A lot of times they don't know. And a lot of times the treatments that they prescribe aren't the best. Sometimes they conflict. Torah was the medical reference they used at the time, particularly these chapters. They used it for diagnosis. There were three diagnoses. You were clean. You were unclean. Wait 7 days and come back and let us see again. That's it. This was everything they needed, the instruction for the priests to be doctors, for treatment or quarantine. Treatment was generally spiritual in some way. It was involved washing the body and the clothing. It also involved blood, usually of an innocent animal or bird. It's interesting to me that there were no drugs of any kind. They didn't prescribe anything. Everything in our medical industry today, medicine, has to do with pharmaceuticals and drugs. Back then, there weren't any. It's interesting, my mom, if she doesn't mind my saying, is in her low 90s, and every once in a while, she'll get to where she's prescribed this and prescribed that. She's got a cabinet full of all these things, and she just starts feeling bad and just rakes them all with her arm into the trash can. And then she gets a bill of health the next time she visits the doctor going, I don't know how you do it. You look great. Your blood's great. Your cholesterol's great. Everything's great. She's going on 94, and she's talking about possibly doing that again soon. Clean versus unclean, I think, is a real big point to pull out of this. What does it really mean, clean and unclean? You know, we tend to think of clean as, well, clean. You know, I took a shower. Not dirty. Does it mean pure, holy? What does holy really mean? By the way, it's set apart. Chadosh means separated from, having no defilement from. It's just set apart, holy. Perfect, like Yahweh. Okay, well, we're told that we're to be perfect or holy as Yahweh is holy. So there must be something that's not totally in the heavens that we can grasp. What is unclean? Sinful. We may have heard abominable. Abominations, certain things to eat are abominations to us or should be. Does it mean unsaved, whatever that means? Mean we can't go near the temple? Well, there is no temple right now. Can we approach Yahweh if we're unclean? A lot of questions, clean and unclean. And a lot has not really been taught on this. Which brings me to, does it really matter for today? Yes. It's very important. Hebrews 10, 9 through 11. I'm just going to hit this one little piece here. It is a law forever throughout your generations so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane and between the unclean and the clean, and to teach the children of Israel all the laws which Yahweh has spoken to them through Moses, the Torah. In the future, Ezekiel's temple, up past his temple and everything, Ezekiel 44, and they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, to make them know what is unclean and clean, to guard my Torah, my Torot, which is plural for Torah, laws, laws and my laws. A couple of things I get out of this right away. First of all, clean and unclean is related to holy and profane. All right? Clean, holy, set apart, pure, those things maybe. Yahweh is pure, clean, set apart. Unclean, which might help define clean a little bit, is profane. Profane is not profanity like cuss words. Profane means common, ordinary, everyday. So Yahweh is set apart, not common, not profane, not ordinary. And clean is that. A little more on clean here. I just mentioned that. And it's another thing I saw in these verses here about clean and unclean, what to teach the children of Israel. They both relate to keeping the Torah, keeping the laws. The word clean was first used in Genesis 7 with Noah. He was commanded to get all of the clean animals, only clean animals, seven of each. A lot of people think, you got two of every animal. No, Torah says very specifically, Noah, you're to take two of every animal, but seven of every clean animal. We don't hear of it again. Oh, and by the way, in 8:20, he sacrifices some of the clean animals after landing again safely on land after the flood. We don't hear the word clean again in the Torah until Leviticus 4 and chapter 6 regarding clean places outside the camp. Interesting. Unclean, first used way up there in Leviticus 5. And it talks about touching the carcasses of the dead and therefore becoming unclean. Or death causes ones to be unclean. First use of unclean, related to death. And usually, and in this context, it was related to sin offering. They're talking about if this sin, the sacrifice, this sin, that sacrifice. If someone touches the dead and becomes unclean, this sacrifice. So I just want to give you the context there. Clean foods, very important. Leviticus 11, the whole chapter. This is pretty much what we need to know to eat clean, to stay clean, and what we take in ourselves makes us clean or unclean, or at least that meat clean or unclean. A lot of you already know this, but for those who don't, which chews the cud and has a split hoof is clean to eat. Cows, deer, moose, goats, lambs, sheep, mutton is sheep. No pork, no horse. You need to stop eating the horse, those of you that have a problem with horse. No ham. You know, one time we were at a pancake house and we said, no pork, please. What else do you have? Well, we can give you ham. No pork, please. Well, you want sausage? No pork. Okay, well, bacon. Really didn't know that pork includes ham, bacon, sausage. Also, no frog legs or gator tail. I actually almost, it looked good at the Chinese buffet the other day. Frog leg. Oh, that's a reptile. Reptiles are unclean. No shellfish. Shrimp, oysters, clams, mussels, crabs. What else? Lobster. Crawfish. Only fish with fins and scales. Do you know that's no catfish? They have skin. There's a really great deal at Walmart on this beautiful white fish called swai. And if you look up swai, it's an Australian catfish. No swordfish. You think you're eating a good fish, swordfish bruschetta. Swordfish has skin, no scales. And certain birds, namely fowl, chickens, duck, geese, fine. No owls, eagles. Gonna have to lay off the vultures. And bats are listed in the category of birds. I love that. So now it brings us to the Torah portion. That was Leviticus 11. Now we're at 12 through 15. Talks about the diagnosis and the cleansing for childbirth, which is really good to know how to get rid of. Scars, scabs, burns, white spots, and infections, namely leprosy. But these infections, which spread or go deeper, two different directions, are in bodies, on skin. They can be in garments. And they can be in the house, in the bricks or walls of your houses. And these things have to be removed. They definitely indicate something that's unclean. Discharges, generally if you have something that is weeping or pus, is unclean. Seminal emission and menstruation. These are pretty much the list of things in these chapters that deal with being unclean. Now, an interesting thing I've noticed about these. They're all related to death, and they all seem to be transmitted by bacteria in a very fine, small, microbial, microscopic, living organism's way. Anybody see, remember War of the Worlds a long time ago? And the whole story there is that we're invaded by aliens that are wiping us out. We don't have a chance. All hope is lost. And then these huge things start just falling over dead. Though militarily stronger than everything on our planet, they had not anticipated bacterial infection. And these aliens were dying due to the bacteria that we had, over thousands of years, survived or strengthened to. We didn't understand or discover microorganisms until the late 1800s. By Louis Pasteur, Robert Koch, I don't know, and Mr. Cohn. Interesting that Mr. Cohn's name really means priest in the and these guys invented vaccines. They saw things through a microscope for the first time. They went, huh, germs, this is what's causing death. They started hospitals washing their hands more and things like that. And you know, it helped a lot of people not die. Cleansing, washing was often commanded. A lot of times we have a ritual mikvah, which is being immersed in water. According to tradition, sometimes three times, completely immersed. A lot of us nowadays take baths and showers and clean our clothes. Again, what the guys in the 1800s discovered was that cleanliness helped avoid some of these diseases. Second, in Leviticus 14, we're commanded to use the blood, often of a bird. Take two birds, you slay one over an earthen vessel, over running water, and you take hyssop, cedar, and scarlet, and the other bird, and you dip it in the blood of the dead one, and you let that bird go. It was definitely the death of a bird, an innocent life, its blood. And it's interesting to me that there's hyssop, cedar, and scarlet. Hyssop was known, it's kind of how we get the word soap. It's a plant that was used, it has cleansing properties. Cedar, I just come to understand, has cleansing properties. In fact, there's a product called Cedarside for people who live in the country and have animals and they have huge ticks and flea problems. Cedarside eliminates ticks and fleas on their animals. Also, cedar is used in soap. I didn't know that. Scarlet. In our translations, there's almost always a word after scarlet that says thread or material. Scarlet to them back then meant this color red, a dye that could only be gotten from these bugs, the certain worm, Liliaceus coccus. And this worm, which is like a grub, attached itself to wood. It would lay its eggs against the wood. You could not get the wood except to tear it off to kill it. It would have its babies under there, and it would die. And when it died, it turned bright red, dyeing the babies. And that's where scarlet came from. Just interesting to note. It's not a scarlet thread. Speaking of blood and hyssop, remember the Passover? We just strike the doorposts with hyssop dipped in the blood of the male lamb. I wonder if the doorposts were cedar. Doesn't say so, but I wonder. And this hyssop-cleaned blood repelled the angel of death who went by killing the firstborns in every house. Interesting. Death. The cleansing here that did not allow death. The tree that was thrown in the poison water after they came out of Egypt. I wonder if it was cedar. Because it says there very clearly, if you keep the words of Yahweh, none of these diseases of the Egyptians will come upon you. So it's related to keeping his word. Numbers 19 is about a red heifer. The priests were commanded to take a red heifer, that's a female cow, outside the camp, kill it, burn it, keep its ashes for purification with water that's dipped in it. If anybody touched anything dead, again, it's related to death, then they're to be cleansed by the red heifer before they can come back into the camp and especially into the temple. Does this relate to today at all? Yeah. We're commanded to know, clean versus unclean, to make a distinction, to be able to understand the differences. Leviticus 10:10 was the one I had mentioned, and Ezekiel is the future one, so it's not just a thing of the past that we should care about clean versus unclean. We can't make these sacrifices today, so are we just perpetually unclean? There's no temple. There's no red heifer. Yes. You might want to mark down these two verses. You are unclean, is what they both basically say. But the physical represents the spiritual. Life versus death. We know that anything unclean is related to death. We are living things that are concerned with staying living and spiritually living into eternity. All flesh dies, but we will be raised in spirit. After that resurrection, all of us will be resurrected, everybody in the whole world. Some will go to a judgment and be judged for their works and will die a second death. This is Revelation 20, if you want to get into this more. So how do we become clean? Washing, cleaning our clothes, helps a lot. A mikveh, in the spiritual sense. A blood sacrifice, preferably with hyssop and cedar. But aren't we cleansed by Yahshua and his blood, his word? John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, and hears means really listens, and believes him, and believes, has faith, really is, has faithfulness, or is faithful to him who sent me, Yahweh, has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now this is Joshua speaking, and what I love here is the word passed out of it, because if he is a Passover lamb, his blood is what allows us to pass that judgment, or the judgment, the angel of death, to pass over us. Look at this one, John 8:5. Truly, I say to you, he who keeps my word will never see death. Wow, if we keep his word, Torah, we won't die. He says this over and over again in different ways. John 15:3, you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Stay in the word. Live in the word. As for blood, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, that of the renewed covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. I'm kind of thinking that the blood of the covenant was related to the blood of a bull. But Revelation 1:5, we also see from Yahshua Messiah, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That could be male lambs were used as guilt offerings, and we're certainly guilty. It could be reference to a Passover that we know he's referred to as. He was the lamb that was slain. Possibly a Passover lamb. With hyssop on cedar, makes sense, doesn't it? The future. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. We're that bride, the people of Israel who keep the commandments. And his wife has prepared herself. Interesting. We're to go get these birds. We're to slay one, or the priest is. We are to wash ourselves in our clothes and so on. And to her it was given. She didn't prepare this. It was given to be dressed in fine linen. White and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the set apart ones. It is keeping Torah that is the white and clean that we've been given. Jot this down and check it out. It's very exciting. It talks specifically about how Yahweh will clean us in the restoration of the land. When he brings us back, he will clean us and he will provide cleansing. Conclusion, we're to learn the distinction between clean and unclean. We're cleansed by his word and by the blood of Yahshua. We need to practice staying clean for the future, for eternal life. We need to understand that uncleanness is death. And if we're going to live eternally, we cannot be infected by death. We're to be holy as he is holy. Death, we need to watch out for. We need to know where it is, what it is, identify it, avoid it. Like a poisonous snake. And we're to keep his Torah to stay clean forever. Baruch Hashem.